You're listening to podcast audio from Radiant Church, located in Bay City, Michigan. For more information on Radiant Church, please visit us online at radiantbc.com or join the conversation on social media at Radiant Bay City.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How are you? Good? We good? Happy 8th of July, I guess, right? It's, you know, whatever. It's all good. I hope you had a great 4th week, right? It's like everybody took a whole week vacation, I guess, this time. And so I hope you had some time to enjoy your family and enjoy friends and celebrate all the festivities. Hey, my name is Marco. I'm the lead pastor here. And again, I want to welcome you here to Radiant Church. If this is your first time here, we are spending the entire summer in Mark's gospel, the gospel according to Mark. And we're calling it the essential gospel. And the reason why we're calling it the essential gospel is this. It's really commonly held that Mark's gospel was written first, and then Matthew and Luke then pull from his gospel. And so if you were here with us last week, or if not, you can check out the podcast, which is, by the way, it's now up. And it's on our website as well. Jesus talks about a special kind of hearing that he wants all of us to have. And he says this, it's not really good enough or it's not adequate enough to hear the message of God with physical ears. Because everyone has those, but not everyone truly hears what God has to say. Jesus actually calls for a special type of hearing. It's a spiritual hearing, right? That's the kind of hearing he wants all of us to have. But here's the catch. Depending how you hear depends on the condition of your heart. And so what Jesus does in Mark, early part of Mark chapter 4, is he equates soil with the condition of our hearts. And Jesus talks about hard soil or the hard heart. And the hard heart is basically this. It's been trampled on by too many people. You've been hurt. You're suffering. You've been in tough life circumstances. And so although you might hear God's word, because your heart is hardened due to pain, the enemy comes in and he snatches it up. Maybe you have a shallow heart. That's the second type of soil that Jesus describes. And the shallow soil really is representative of those people who would make this decision to follow Jesus. But once they realize that when you follow Christ, there's a cost. You'll lose out on certain things. You might lose out on some opportunities. You might lose out on money. When they realize that, well, they fall away from Christ and the seed never takes root. Or perhaps you're in here and you have a crowded heart. And Jesus talks about that as the third type of soil. The crowded heart simply is this. There's too many competing desires in your heart. You're chasing after the love of money. You're chasing after perhaps a female or a male. You want to please her and please him. And it gets in the way. And God's word, listen, gets choked out because you're trying or you're pursuing too many other things. And then finally, Jesus says, you possibly could have the fertile heart or fertile soil. And that is exactly what the type of hearing that Christ would want us to have. It's a hearing, listen, that produces a crop. And what's that mean? It means this. It produces a changed life. And this morning, we're going to actually continue in Mark's gospel, or in Mark chapter 4, I should say. This time we're going to be right towards the end of Mark 4, and we're going to talk about storms. This is a section of scripture where Jesus and the disciples come across a storm, and we're going to have a couple share their testimony in a few more moments. It's going to be great. I'm really excited about that. Before we dive into Mark chapter 4, though, let's just take a few moments. I always like to pray before I open up the Word of God. So, church, let's just do that for a few moments. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this moment and for bringing us here, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, God. Lord, we pray that you would remove any burden or distraction that we may have carried in here, God. Some of us perhaps carried in the burden of sickness. Perhaps some of us carried in the burden of busyness and the burden of anxiety, Lord. Whatever that might be, God, Lord, would you, in the next 30 minutes or so, would you give us a peace, God? Grant us a peace that surpasses all understanding, God. And Lord, as you said earlier in Mark 4, would you give us spiritual ears to hear, God? We know that not everybody really hears, but God, we want to be a people who hear. And because we hear, it changes our lives. And so God, give us open ears and an open heart to hear everything that you would say to us this morning. In your beautiful name we pray, amen. All right, well, let's not waste any time. Let's just do that. Let's dive right into Mark 4. We're going to pick this story up in verse 35, and here's what it says. That day when evening came, he said, he being Jesus, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, and just as he was in the boat, there was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Let's just pause there for a few moments. I don't know about you, but have you ever taken a nap? It was a rainy day outside, and you were, of course, inside, and maybe you were in your bedroom, and you could kind of hear the pitter-patter of the rain on the windowsill. Maybe it was in your living room, and you were on your couch, and you decided that you were going to kind of just have a nice and relaxing day. You're going to put some Netflix on, and outside, you hear the rain sort of going on, and it's just such a relaxing moment, right? Because you know that outside, it's dreary, it's kind of wet and damp out there, but on the inside, you're kind of snuggled up with some blankets, ready to relax, right? I think many of us have been there. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever tried to sleep during a severe storm, like a thunderstorm or a tornado, right? You got lightning going on, and thunder is crashing, and it's just raining, and maybe there's hail. I'm guessing, like me, you're probably not sleeping, okay? You're probably glued to the television, or maybe it's your phone, or perhaps maybe it's the radio, or whatever it might be, or the Weather Channel app, and you're just waiting for updates, right? Because when you're in the middle of a storm, I don't know, at least for me, the last thing that I want to do is take a nap, right? I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about maybe perhaps my house. And I'm kind of frantic. I'm nervous. There was one time when we were in Grand Rapids living there. And I remember there was all these tornadoes that begin to come through Grand Rapids. And we were forced to go in our basement. And what did we do? We had the weather app open. And we were in this small little tiny closet in the basement with our daughter, Ari. Just kind of just waiting there. Okay, like, when is this going to go? How long will these storms be here? Okay, is there a tornado near us? Okay, what about this cell? What's going to happen next? And we were just glued to the weather app to look for updates, right? Because when you're in the middle of a storm, I think the last thing you want to do is go to sleep, take a nap. So think about this scenario for just a few moments. We have the disciples and Jesus, and Mark says that this furious squall comes upon them. That's kind of an interesting word, isn't it? Squall. We don't ever use that in our language. At least I don't use it. It really just represents fierce winds. That all of a sudden these fierce winds come and there's a storm. Now just picture this with me, because I think we read the passage and it's so easy for us to remove ourselves from the situation. But think of it for just a few moments, because perhaps the waves are just crashing over. In fact, Mark tells us that the boat is nearly swamped. That means it's probably perhaps going to go under. And perhaps it's just rocking back and forth, and the disciples are just getting just punished by waves and water. Maybe they're dripping wet. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm one to get like seasick. So if this boat is rocking, I mean, maybe Peter's like, "Oh," right? He keeled over. Who knows what it was, right? That would be me. That would be my case anyways. I'd be keeled over, probably letting go of my lunch earlier. So who knows what's going on, but it's this chaotic situation, right? This chaotic storm comes upon them, and they cry out to Jesus. They say this. They say, "Teacher, does it matter to you? Like, don't you even care that we drown?" they're beginning to question Jesus because out of nowhere, here comes this storm. I was thinking about the storms in our own lives. Think about the storms that you faced in your life before. Maybe it was a financial storm that you're in the middle of it. Maybe you faced it in the past. It comes out of nowhere, right? All of a sudden, you can't pay your bills. Something happens, and the storm comes out of nowhere. You see, storms come out of nowhere in our own lives. Storms with our relationships. Maybe there is a relationship that goes south because someone is offended. And before you know it, it's severed, and you're not talking to that person. It comes out of nowhere. Maybe all of a sudden you get a call from your boss, and the boss says, hey, we're downsizing, or the company is going under. I'm sorry, I have to lay you off. And then you lose your job. Maybe all of your friends lose their jobs, and you find yourself in the middle of this storm, and it just seems to come out of nowhere. I think all of us have experienced a storm like that. We all know what it's like for a storm to just come out of nothing. And you can hear in the disciples' tone, I think you can anyways, you can hear in their tone all of their anxiety, all of their fear just welling up in this one statement. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Like, come on, Jesus, are you here? Are you listening? Don't you even care what's going on in our lives? You see, I think there are two options that we are faced with in a storm. When a storm comes upon you, and if you haven't been through a storm, you will go through a storm. It's inevitable. When a storm comes upon you, I think we all have two choices, and here are my choices. The presence of storms in our life, listen, they either will be the catalyst for greater faith, okay, or they will lead you further into doubt and despair. When you confront a storm in your life, listen, it will catapult you, perhaps, hopefully, to greater faith. Here's what I mean by that. I mean greater dependence upon God. Or you'll take the other route. It will lead you further into despair, into darkness, into doubt, into questioning, right? I'm going to show you a couple instances in the scripture, why I believe this actually happens. It happens in the Psalms, and we'll go there in just a few moments. But here's one thing that I want to let you know, and it's this, that in the scripture, chaotic waters are often a metaphor for danger and death. Chaotic waters are often a metaphor for danger and death. That is this, water, listen, is unruly. It's powerful. It has the power to what? Take you out, to take your life out, to claim your life. And so oftentimes what we see, especially in the Old Testament, is when the biblical authors talk about waters, they talk about these roaring waves or the crashing seas and what it resembles. It's truly a metaphor of danger and death. And so what we see in this particular incident in Mark chapter 4, listen, is another such thing. But there's going to be a turn of events that we'll see with Jesus. We'll look there in a few more moments. But let's look at Psalm 46, verses 2 and 3 for just a few moments. It says this. Here's what the psalmist says. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, you hear that language, and the mountains quake with their surging. All right, so Psalm 46, 2 and 3, what's happening here? The psalmist is acknowledging that, listen, everything around them is just going completely crazy. Life is chaotic, all right? Mountains falling into the sea, and then you notice that he uses that language of roaring waters and the waves and the seas. But what does he say in the beginning there? He says, we will not fear. We will not fear. So listen, in this case, the storm has come upon the person, the psalmist, but it's led him to greater faith. It's catapulted his faith and dependence upon God. He says, no, I don't care if everything is going crazy around me. I don't care if my relationships are falling apart. I don't care if I just lost my job. That's hard. I don't care if I can't pay all my bills. I'm not going to be afraid. I will not fear. So when a storm comes upon you in your life, you can react the same way. That's the way I think God would all want us to respond. But we can also go the opposite way. Let me look at another psalm. It's found in Psalm chapter 10, verse 1, and let's look at that. Listen to what the psalmist says. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? The psalmist, listen, is acknowledging his pain, right? What is he saying? He's saying, God, I'm in the midst of this chaos. I'm in the midst of this storm. And why are you playing hide and seek right now with me, God? Why does it feel like you're standing far away from me, God? Listen, if you read the entire psalm, thankfully, the psalm ends in a posture of faith. But it doesn't begin that way. It doesn't begin that way. And so it is with us. When we are in the presence of a storm, it can catapult us to greater faith or lead us to despair. It can lead us to what? Questioning God. Why, Lord? How? Why? Where are you? Don't you care? I just lost my job. I just lost him. I just lost her. Don't you care? I'm crying out. My heart has been ripped out of my chest. God, where are you? And when we get to the end of Psalm chapter 10, the psalmist has a position of faith, but it doesn't start there. Often it's the same way in our own lives, right? We wrestle with God. We ask the hard questions. We're in darkness. We're in despair. And then finally, we get to a place of faith. This morning, I'm going to introduce to you a couple from our church by the name of Troy and Ann Nayert. And in May of 2016, they went through one of the darkest storms, really, of their lives. And in a few more moments here, I'm going to call them up, but they're going to share their hearts. I'm going to ask them a few questions, and they're going to share with all of us this morning what it was like to go through this storm. So without any further ado, would you help me welcome Troy and Ann Nayert to the stage? Well, hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks for making yourself vulnerable and sharing your story. And Troy, thanks for hitting that snare nice and hard. I appreciate that.
That's what you told me to do.
That's right, baby. Come on. I think there's a lot of snare in heaven. I don't know. That might just be me. But hey, you guys, I'm so excited for you to just share your hearts with us. Motorcycle accident, May of 2016. Troy, would you just maybe share with us? I know some of us in here know your story, but not every one of us. And so take us back to that fateful day, Troy. And Anne, of course, you just chime in as well. What happened and what went on in your heads during that whole time?
Well, I could relate to what Marco was saying at the beginning here. Imagine your life going swell as planned, so you think, and you're living the dream. And you just started a new job. I was working out of my home as a claims adjuster, so it gave me more time to ride, which was a good thing. So I decided one day I finished all my work assignments and told Ann I was going to take a late afternoon ride. I said, you know what, I'm going to go take a ride, blow off some steam. Those of you that ride, you know how freeing it is. And I asked her if she wanted to go, but of course, if it wasn't above 80, Ann didn't get on the bike. So it was in the 70s, which to me is perfect. For Ann, not so much. So for some reason that day, I leathered up. I always wore my helmet, that's a plus, and a must. That's very fragile up there, guys. So I leathered up, kicked on my phone, hooked up to Spotify, put Volbeat on, kissed my wife goodbye as always, and I hit the road. And it was a great ride, just feeling it, enjoying it. And all of a sudden, I liked back roads because they're safer. And I decided to take Young's Ditch at the last moment, which turns into Salzburg and takes me home. Well, I turned on to Young's Ditch, and I was only on there for a few moments when a vehicle pulled in front of me. It turned left onto Jones. Impact was unavoidable. There was nothing I could do. But I do remember saying two things right before impact. One was, Jesus, I place my life in your hands, and this is not going to end well. It did not. I hit the car, and I was told that I flew 30 feet in the air. I say I was carried, and landed face down in the water in a deep ditch. This is where God provided early on. There was an off-duty firefighter happened to be sitting at the corner. Wow. He's seen the whole accident. So he left his young daughter in the car, locked her in there, slid down in the ditch, flipped me over and slid me up kind of back like this. So when I woke up, I was sitting in water trying to figure out what had happened.
Right.
So we sat there for a while. He talked to me quite a bit, asked me a ton of questions until the ambulance and the rescue crew arrived. They brought me out of the ditch, loaded me up in the ambulance for my ride to Covenant Cooper because of their trauma 2 capabilities. I just figured my hand was sore, my leg was sore. This is going to be a walk in the park. Well, that wasn't so much.
When I got to the hospital and he was in the back of the ambulance, I ended up behind the ambulance on the way to Covenant Cooper, and so it was convenient since I didn't know it. Anyways, that's what he said, is just his thumb and his knee hurt. But when we got in there, they quickly took him down for X-rays and said, "Yeah, your thumb and your knee is broke, but so is your pelvis." I was like, "Okay, what does that entail?" They said 3 months off your feet. I'm like, "All right, this ought to be interesting." So they took him down for the CT scan and come back and said that his neck was broke.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, "Okay, his fingers are moving, his toes are moving, everything's moving. What's that entail?" And he said, "Worst case scenario, a halo." Okay, we can do this. So they took him down for the MRI and they come back. Now, this was probably the injury that we pay the most for, the one that stays around, and they said he had a brain bleed. I just looked at the doctor and said, "Please don't come back." I had had just enough of the stuff, but I mean, thankfully, he was in the right spot. But that's what lingers on is the brain injury. He's got his leg and stuff, but I think that's one that is the hardest for us.
Yeah, it's not my bass drum leg, so I'm good.
Yeah. Troy, you guys wrote a book called Broken and Teachable, and in your book, you talk about that everyone experiences a level of brokenness, emotional brokenness, relational brokenness, in your case, physical brokenness. And so tell me a little bit about, or tell us a little bit about, how has God used your brokenness to encourage other people in their faith, but also to strengthen your own faith? And of course, Ann, you can chime in as well.
That's a good one. I think through this, one of the things God has opened my eyes to is brokenness. You know, like Markle just said, I'm sure there's not a person sitting here today that isn't experienced some sort of brokenness, whatever that is. You know, and so what it's given me is a new heart. And just to be able to reach out to others, those that are handicapped, those that have other brain injuries. I go to Rivers Bend still as an outpatient, and there is quite a few people there that are struggling. A lot of them have had severe brain injuries. And it just, he's placed me through this in the Rivers Bend to encourage others,
wow,
to listen, yeah, to talk with them, to joke with them, to some of my therapists say start trouble, and then I get them people wound up, and then I say, well, you know, let them do what they want. But that doesn't always work. But again, it's being able to make yourself available, if you know what I'm saying, just to be able to say, "Hey, you know, I understand what it is. I know what you're going through. But you know what? God is bigger than that."
Yeah, I think we both become more sensitive
to
people rather than say, "Why are they doing that?" It's more like, "I wonder what they're going through that they're doing that."
That's good.
Troy's, one of Troy's things that he had told me early on when I came to Christ was that sometimes God puts you flat on your back so that you can hear him better. And I think that through this all, our marriage is strengthened.
Wow.
You know, our relationship with God is strengthened, which, you know, sometimes I think we get blasé in our relationship, you know.
Complacent.
And God, yeah, complacent. Yeah. And God says, "No, I need you closer." Mm. And I think that that's where it's really strengthened us that way. And to be able to share our story, even.
Yeah.
This isn't something that we ever saw us doing, is sharing a story.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
You know, and I think, too, is within your brokenness, you know, that's an opportunity to show God's faithfulness. You know, when you're struggling, when you don't know how you're going to get through it, like Pastor said, when those waves are just pounding around you, you know, when you're trying to see light and all you see is dark, there is hope, you know, because isn't Jesus light? I don't know any amount of darkness that can put light out.
That's right.
When light is turned on, what happens? The darkness goes away. When you can't see when you're walking down the stairs, you turn the light on. Darkness is gone. And it's the same thing, I think, when you're broke in brokenness. You need to look to Christ, and you need to say to him, I can't do this, but you can. Many, many days of that.
Yeah,
many
good.
Days of that.
That's good. You guys, this passage that we're looking at this morning, the disciples have questions. And I don't know about you guys, but when I go through a storm, I have questions, a lot of questions for God, sometimes questions for myself. And in the passage, the disciples say, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And so I can identify with that. I can resonate with that. Tell us a little bit, Troy, about what were some of the questions that you had for God? What was going on in your head?
Wow, that's a biggie. I just remember it started in the hospital bed. You know, my questions were, what good can come from this? I thought you loved me.
Right.
Why me? Why this time? You know, I don't understand. You knew, Father, when I left that day on the motorcycle ride that I wasn't coming home.
Mm.
Yet, you let me go. You let me get on that bike, and you let me go. But it quickly turned, I gave him so many questions. God is patient. He listens. And then one of the things that he said to me, I remember clearly, and I might have mentioned in the book, he said, what is your favorite verse? And I said, well, that's easy, Psalm 46:10. And he said, okay, so be still, know that I'm God. I've got this. You don't. There's nothing you can do. You can't even walk. You can't care for your own needs. I rang a bell. Once I got to River's Bend, they gave me a buzzer. Ann wouldn't let me bring it home, but they would just give me a buzzer. And anything I needed, I hit it. Within minutes, they came in and they attended my needs. And whatever it was, that is humbling. That is very humbling when you lose it all and you ask so many questions. But, you know, it's okay. If you're broken and you have some questions today, God can handle that.
That's
he can
good.
Handle it.
I think my biggest question was, all right, God, you got a really big job because now you have to carry me through this. I was always worried about how I was going to take care of him. He was my rock, my reminder of where I needed to be when it was in those storms. And I worried about him with his depression and how I was going to, if he was going to go into a depression. You know, God, what are you going to do? How are you going to answer this one? I always knew he would take care of us. I knew it right from the beginning. I just was like, it's going to be fine. We might have to give up things, but it'll be fine.
Wow.
So my biggest question was always about whether the girl. I said to God, Trey, I said, and to God one morning, I was like, is she even thinking about us? Is she even looking back? I went home to let the dog out, got there. There was a 4-page letter written, handwritten front and back from this girl. And I just was like, God, you answered that one fast.
Wow.
But yeah, so he's always been faithful. I mean, yeah, there's the questions. Yeah, I was mad when I get aggravated, but you know, I cried out to him and he just listened.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good.
And in that letter, though, that she just mentioned was a heart of brokenness.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
She was going through her own storm.
Yes, she was in her own storm, and this just kind of added to it, but God showed up for both of us.
Well, and forgiveness was able to be given through all of that as well, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Forgiveness was the biggest part. In the book, the young lady that was involved in the accident with me actually writes on what it feels like to be forgiven.
Wow.
She contributed to the book, and she's still blown away to this day when we go to her house or go out to dinner with her or just talk with her. She's hurting.
Wow. You guys, in your book, there's a great line. It says that God never promises to keep us from the storms, but he did promise that he would be with us in the storm. And I know you could probably go on and on and on, but for the sake of time, give us a couple of things of how has God been faithful to you in the middle of this storm? He hasn't kept you from it, but he's been with you, clearly.
Yes, I know that quote that you said. I sent out a morning text, and it was maybe a week later in the hospital, my friend come up and said to me, did you know the text that you sent out the morning of your accident meant right now. And I said, no. And when he shared it with me, it's what Pastor said. God never promises the absence of storms.
Yes, it's good.
He does promise to walk through them with you.
Amen.
Little did I know, 7-8 hours later, I'd be living that. But he did show me that he is faithful, wow, even when I'm not. He is there for you, even when you can't do it.
Wow.
He never left me alone. He was always there. He would always show up in the form of Van, my children, the attendants at Rivers Bend, the nurses at Covenant. He was always showing me that he's got this. He has me. He's not going to leave me. The waters are raging. They're pounding around me. I can relate on that boat. They just kept smashing and smashing and smashing. It would have been easy to just bail or check out, you know, but he didn't let me.
He wouldn't let me.
So he was faithful even when I wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah, he always, when the questions would happen, like when his injuries were too bad for him to go into a normal rehab, and yet he put that person, you know, and she was from McLaren, and I was talking to her because, of course, I wanted them close to home. And she said, he's just got too many injuries. I don't have the staffing to take care of all of that.
Wow.
But she's the one that said to me, have you ever heard of Riverspan? And I was like, no. So because of his brain injury, we were able to get into Riverspan, and that's been a blessing. You know, I mean, I worried about him coming home and not being able to take care of him. I mean, we still had Alex living at home, and Alex pitched right in. You know, he always put all the right people, the right circumstances, everything just always fell into place.
It's amazing.
And even when they didn't, it was only rocky for a little while, and then he'd pick us back up and give us something else, you know?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Even when he didn't, I like that. That's good. Wow. You guys, I just appreciate you, and I know we're only getting just a fraction of their story this morning, but, you know, as we close our time together, you guys, I know that some of us in here probably are going through a storm. It could be a financial storm, a relational storm, or a physical storm. I don't know, but would you guys just leave us with something encouraging? How can you just, Troy, encourage us this morning with a little bit as we go through a storm, as some people might be facing a storm right now?
Well, the first thing I would say is God knows your pain and your limits. He may have allowed this storm to enter your life, like I said at the beginning, not to break you, but to invite you to draw closer to him, to rest in his arms.
Hmm.
You know, you can even look in Scripture. He never picked the ideal person. Jesus didn't to be his disciples, to work in their lives, just tax collectors, sinners, you know, people like us. You know, God uses our scars to tell others about his grace.
That's good.
To tell others his story.
Right.
And I've seen firsthand that no matter how big the storm, no matter how high the waves come, how many they slam up against you and just beat you down to where you can't do it, God is bigger than that storm. He may have allowed it. It may have entered your life. But just think what he's going to do with it.
Wow.
When you walk through to the other side and you get to dry land,
Amen.
That's when you can tell his story.
It's good. It's really good.
You know, one of the things, Trace, with the brain injury, he'll get fixated on things that he can't do. And so one of the things, you know, thankfully for therapists, I'm telling you, because they help you through a lot of this stuff. But one of the things I tell him is if God brings you to it, he's going to see you through it. I have to remind him sometimes a lot. But, yeah, just a little bit. But but it's one thing that I tell myself, too, because in the midst of that storm, but I heard God of all my days not too long ago. And it wasn't so much a song, but what the guy said before it. He said, you know, what if what you're going through right now is to clear the path? And that has stuck with me. And when I look back at everything that I've gone through in my life, I mean, I lost my husband, I lost my dad and my brother all within a year.
Wow.
You know, we made it through as a family, and we did that all with the grace of God. But when I look back now, and then the year before the accident, within that year, I had lost my mom, and I was going through quite the storm with that one.
Wow.
But when I look back, every single thing prepared me for what we were going through that day. It put us right in the right spot. So somehow with me, when something comes up with us, I just think, okay, God, you're just preparing me for the next one.
Wow.
And it just makes it a little bit easier. Not that the storm gets any easier, but
right.
It just makes it a little bit easier to go through.
Wow. Amazing. That's incredible.
And one last thing, too.
Yeah.
When you're in that storm
mm-hmm.
and you you feel like you're drowning, I get it, believe me. But take heart. When that water gets high and you feel like you're never going to get out of that water, your Savior walks on water. He'll meet you.
Wow, thank you so much, you guys. Hey, listen, this couple wrote a book. It's called Broken and Teachable. And we wanted to be generous today. And so Radiant Church, we bought some copies. Troy bought some copies. And so if you'd like a book, we've got 10 free copies today that we can give you. I would love for you to come up after church, maybe right up here, just to talk to Troy and Ann, maybe pray with them or maybe tell them your storm. And if you'd like a free book, please just take one. It's our way to be generous with you guys and to hopefully just encourage your hearts as you go through a storm. Can we go ahead and just thank the Lord for these guys and all that God has done? Yeah. Love you guys. Well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap up in just a few moments. What I want to do is I want to finish the text with you, the scripture. We're going to pick the story back up and see how this ends. And let's go to verse 39. The verses will be behind me. It says this. This is Jesus. It says, he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Listen, we've got just a few more minutes left. And what I want to do is I just want to make three sort of simple observations about this story. And then we'll worship together. The first observation is this. In the middle of this storm, listen, Jesus remains calm during the storm. Jesus remains calm during the storm. Here's this tempest. Here's this perilous storm. And where is Jesus? Mark says he's sleeping on a cushion. Sleeping on a cushion. The disciples are frantic. They're panicking, they're overwhelmed, and they're full of fear. And Jesus is the total opposite end of the spectrum, of the emotional spectrum. He is completely calm. He is absolutely peaceful. He is what? Sleeping. I think it's fair to say that the disciples and Jesus are on the opposite ends of the emotional spectrum. But you know what else I think? I think Mark wants us to see something this morning as we look at these verses. I think Mark wants us to know that, listen, even when you are in the middle of a storm, and even when you are frantic, and you're overwhelmed, and you're asking all the questions that Troy and Ann asked, God, why me? What did you do? Don't you care? What am I going to do now? How am I going to solve this? We got the water bills late. How are we going to pay this now? Even when you're frantic, even when you're crazed, Jesus is completely calm. Here's what that means, that the God of the universe, listen, is never surprised. The God of the universe is never overwhelmed during a storm. You might be overwhelmed, but Jesus is never overwhelmed. You might be completely taken off guard and surprised, but Jesus knows all things. Listen, it's important for us to know that the God of peace is the very source of our peace. And so Mark is trying to show us something, that even in the midst of this storm, Jesus is completely calm. The next thing is this. Jesus is what? He's present in the storm. And Troy and Anne, they talked about this. He was present with them. Where is Jesus the whole time? Where he hasn't left the boat. He's right there in the middle. He's right there with them. That means, listen, the presence of God is with you. And all you need to have in the middle of a storm is the presence of God. Any amen to that? Can I get one? Amen. Right? All you need, come on, people, help me out here. All we need is one thing, and that is the presence of God. You may not have money. You may not have friends. You may have lost your job. You may have lost people that loved you or said that they loved you. But if you have the presence of God, that's all you need. Jesus is with them. He's present in the boat. He's never left them. He won't forsake them. He won't abandon them. Listen, and he won't do those things for us. He won't abandon you. He won't forsake you. He won't turn his back on you. It might feel like he has. The psalmist cries out, God, why do you hide yourself? Why does it feel like you're so far off from me? Listen, it feels like that, but listen, our feelings are a terrible, terrible barometer for the truth. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's true. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean that's the truth. You may feel alone. You may feel abandoned. But it doesn't mean God has forsaken you. Jesus is in the boat. And then finally, listen, Jesus is what? He is greater than the storm. Jesus is greater than the storm. What does he say? He gets up and he says, be still, right? And the winds and the waves, everything calms down. Everything ceases. It's completely peaceful in the environment. Jesus is greater, or theologians would say it like this, Jesus is sovereign over the storm. And if Jesus is sovereign or was sovereign over that storm, guess what? He is sovereign over the storm you're in right now. Listen, we know that God is faithful because Jesus, he does this. He overcame the greatest storm. And what was that? That was the storm of the cross. Jesus stood in my place. He stood in your place. Jesus, listen, endured the suffering. He endured the excruciating pain of the cross so that we wouldn't have to face that pain. We wouldn't have to face that type of judgment. Jesus was in our place. He endured the greatest storm of ever existed. And if we know that Jesus endured that type of storm, we can know, we can be confident that Jesus, listen, will be with us in our storm today. If he faced the greatest storm ever, he will also be faithful with us in the storms that we have. And so this morning, perhaps you're in a storm. You're facing a firestorm, a financial storm, a relational storm. You lost your job. Seems like you're hopeless. It seems like there's no end. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. I think this song is for you. This song we're going to talk about, over all I know. That Jesus, listen, is over all that we know. He's over all the storm, every calamity that we face. And so this morning, man, if that's you, if you're facing a storm, I want you to just worship with us. In fact, would you just stand with me right now? Let's just stand across this room. Some of you might be feel compelled to come up front and to worship. This is not a magical place, okay? It's just, listen, when you come up front, it really is just, it's your faith. It's a symbol of your faith. Your faith to say, you know what, God, you are greater than my storm. God, I feel like the waters are crashing over me and I'm drowning. I feel drenched. But God, you are over all that I know. God, you are greater than the storm. So this morning, listen, if that's you, you want to come to the front, you want to worship, man, I'd love for you to just come up. We won't embarrass you. We won't call you out. Maybe this morning is your moment to just cry out to God. God, you are greater than my storm. I need to hear that this morning. Let's pray together, church. Lord, God, we thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you that you are with us in the storm and that you are greater than the storm, God. So as we worship you, God, calm the raging seas of our heart. Lord, calm the storms that we have. Remind us that you're sovereign. Remind us that you are faithful in the storm. In Christ's name we pray.